Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, with the African Growth and Opportunity Act up for renewal this year and an enormous amount of talk and controversy around that, as well as a shifting geopolitical landscape under President Trump's return to office, South Africa's top agricultural exporters are facing growing uncertainty. What would it mean then if we lose these AGOA benefits? Could the sector absorb the shock? And what are the real risks and opportunities that lie ahead? It is an important issue, and I want to discuss the legal, economic, and strategic angles now with Meluleke Nzimande, who is a partner at the law firm Weber Wenzel. Meluleke, good evening to you and a very warm welcome. You argue that agriculture can overcome an AGOA exit, but I'm wondering if this is just legal optimism as far as you're concerned, or if there is evidence that the sector can weather such a blow?
Jeremy, unfortunately, it all comes down to the detail. In fact, the conversation around AGOA cannot be held now in isolation from the reciprocal tariffs that President Trump recently announced. And at 31% across the board, or in addition to what ordinary duty you'd be subject to when you're exporting into the US, that almost effectively acts as a barrier. So with AGOA, speaking almost separately without having regard to the reciprocal tariffs, it could be argued that maybe there is a chance of surviving the post-AGOA scenario, because the duties were relatively low, 1 to 7%, generally low. So if you split 7%, for instance, into two, i.e. The importer agrees to in the US agrees to absorb half of 7%, and the exporter in South Africa agrees to absorb half of 7%, that's workable. Or you could even say maybe the burden is shared three ways, with the consumer absorbing a portion, the importer in the US absorbing a portion, and the supplier in South Africa absorbing a portion. That is workable. Where you are now, just to wrap the roundup, you are now in a disrupted environment where you have to deal with 30%. The detail I was talking about earlier is you then need to look and see if your product, specific product, is exempted, because there is a set of exemptions. Let me stop there, Jeremy. Thanks.
Well, let me ask you this. Has the AGOA issue not really become an academic debate now? Have we not effectively written ourselves out of AGOA, given that these reciprocal tariffs now exist in the first place?
Well, as a matter of law, I believe AGOA continues to exist, because these duties that the reciprocal duties that have come into effect are being imposed on top of the existing duties. That said, as a matter of practicality, a burden of 30% is almost impossible to surmount.
So what it means now is whether our products are priced then to absorb the new tariff, surely. And I'm wondering how confident you would be that South African goods remain competitive if they lose that duty-free access in AGOA.
I am not confident at all, Jeremy. Having said that, to double back to what I said about looking at the detail, when you look at a product like avocados and beef, those products are not in Schedule 3, which means that they are not subject to the reciprocal duties. So what then that pushes you into is the ordinary scenario where you check whether those products benefit under AGOA. And yes, they do, which means those products are exempted from the reciprocal measures and benefit from AGOA. So it's business as usual in relation to those products, until such time as AGOA expires, which happens in September, at which point they will, if they continue to be exempted from the reciprocal duties, then they will be subject to ordinary duties, which are much lower. And in that scenario, you still have some sort of perhaps advantage, because other countries which export avos and beef into the US may have not been exempted, in which case you have an advantage relative to them. However, I don't know if you've got competition in the US by local producers in the US, in which case you have to then do the calculations whether you can compete with them. So unfortunately, it's not a straightforward answer. It's one of those where the devil is in the detail.
But what it also says to us, or one of the arguments being put forward, is that we've now got to start exploring other markets if the United States is being shut down to us in one way or another. Let me suggest to you that that sounds very good in theory, but isn't building new export relationships a process that's going to take years rather than months? And the reality of the situation is that we can ill afford that.
Absolutely correct, Jeremy. You know, when you court a woman, you don't get an instant, you know, relationship. You have to work on it over a long period. So, yes, it's easier said than done. That said, I should mention something else, Jeremy. The reciprocal tariffs that Trump has imposed are a shock to the system. So everybody has to react with agility. And in those circumstances, there is a chance that what you do in the normal course of courting is now changed because you have to do in extraordinary circumstances. And customers it might be that the consumers still require the product and might be able to afford it. And in fact, one of the thoughts that came to my mind was that you've got Canada next to America. You already have a trade route that goes to North America. So if you are able to, and Canada, you know that it's engaged in a hot trade war with the US. That might provide an opportunity then to switch from the US to Canada in respect to those products that that situation permits.
So to extend your courtship metaphor, then, if producers are forced to shoulder more cost in order to stay competitive and to perhaps woo a new suitor, so to speak, are we not going to see a drop in quality, in labor standards, or even sustainability commitments? And that, again, puts us on the back foot if we want to offer a new diamond ring.
You know, sustainability is probably the most important in what you have mentioned. On the quality side, with agricultural products, my inclination is to say that we probably will have to sell the Americans what we normally sell to South Africans, a slightly lower product. But I don't even think that's an option because of the standards and other regulatory requirements that are in place in markets such as the US. So I doubt very much that dropping the quality would be a solution. On the labor front, sadly, if we ultimately lose the US access to the US market and we're unable to divert to other markets in time, we may have to scale back on production and consequently on labor.
But the reality of the situation is we've got to understand we don't have that much leverage in global markets when it comes to competing against countries with maybe better trade deals and subsidies. And those discussions have already started in earnest.
Absolutely. By the following, Jeremy, we have a preferential trade arrangement with the European Union as well as with the UK. And established trade routes in that direction. On the African continent, we've got preferential trade arrangements with our neighbors within the Southern African Development Community. We also have now the Guided Trade Initiative, which implements or pilots the implementation of the agreement establishing the free trade area across the whole of the African continent. What then remains is access to the Middle East and perhaps to China. There are already existing trade routes there. We don't have preferential arrangements, but there are certain elements which are positive for us, such as China being the biggest importer of agricultural products, the Middle East not producing the goods that we supply to the agricultural products that we supply to them. So, yes, it's going to be a challenge, but there are opportunities.
And Meluleki, I wish you hadn't raised that whole courtship thing, because I've now just got a text from my wife who says, very interesting conversation. I must stop on the way home from the radio station to bring her flowers. So thank you very much indeed. I'm going to send the bill to Weber Wenzel.
Thank you, Jeremy. I'll meet the bill. Don't worry.
All right. Beluleke Nzimande, thank you very much indeed. Jokes aside, it is a very important issue. And the reality of the situation is that we are very far behind in that long line of people queuing to get better deals as far as trade is concerned. The entire trade paradigm the world over certainly has been upended. My thanks for joining us tonight. Appreciate your time.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.